Chapter 34. The day before Uncle Timmy and Aunt Jeannie were due to arrive back in the States, Matt got in a fight, a big one, with Stick. Foggy didn't know what the worst part was, that Matt stumbled home after being missing for a terrifying 18 hours, or that Matt was beaten so thoroughly that he collapsed as soon as he was safe in Foggy's arms, without telling him anything except the name of his attacker, Stick. He needed to get Matt away from him, he decided. While Matt slept off the beating, Foggy researched law schools in other states and other countries, convinced that was the only way to protect Matt, to take him somewhere that Stick couldn't find him. He liked the look of Harvard. But looking at a peacefully sleeping, if bruised and bloody Matt, he knew he'd never be able to convince him to leave Hell's Kitchen, the only place he'd ever had a home. Whether Foggy could walk away from his own family, he didn't know, but he knew that for Matt, he'd try. Matt didn't give him the option. He woke up at the end of a long afternoon, during which Foggy seriously debated whether winters in Russia were really as cold as everyone said. Supposedly the law program at Lomonosov Moscow State University was pretty great, but then Matt struggled into a sitting position and spoke three words that Foggy dreaded. And not the three little words he longed to hear from him. I'm not running. That was all Matt said about it. Then he went upstairs, showered, changed his clothes, and came back down looking as calm as if nothing had happened to him. His composure was frankly a little frightening. If it hadn't been for the ginger way he moved and the colorful bruises marking his face, Foggy would almost have believed he was fine. He didn't say anything because Matt would stand there and argue his point until he keeled over. The strange thing about that was that even beaten to hell like this, Matt didn't strike him as fragile. No, Foggy had never seen him angrier or more defiant. The fact that Matt channeled that anger into making pizza was unexpected, to say the least. He'd been fully prepared to try to talk Matt down if he proposed going after Stick. Matt kneaded that dough and chopped mushrooms and onions with such aggression that Foggy didn't have to look too hard to know whose face that perfectly flattened dough represented. But then Matt finished off the pizza with sausage, salami, and a heaping quantity of cheese and slid the tray into the oven. He didn't set a timer, and Foggy didn't offer to either. Matt would know when the pizza was ready. He had no doubt about it. In fact, he was rather impressed that Matt could throw a decent pizza together, dough included, without a recipe or any help whatsoever. How many ways were there for Matt to show him how capable he was? Foggy had lost count by now. Matt looked tense enough that he didn't dare compliment him or question him. Instead, he set the table and poured a drink each for himself and Matt, a refreshing blend of fruit juice and lemonade that he knew his boyfriend liked. Then he sat down to wait. When Matt eventually emerged from the kitchen, carrying a board of freshly sliced pizza hot from the oven, Foggy found that he still didn't know what to say to him. It wasn't much comfort that Matt wasn't talking either. Foggy managed four bites of Matt's pizza before he found his voice. "This is the best pizza I've ever had," he admitted, reaching for another slice. "You know the secret, right?" Matt murmured, the ghost of a smile curving his lips. "Extra cheese?" Foggy guessed, relieved that Matt was actually talking, even if it was just about pizza. "Nope. The salami is from the best butcher in Hell's Kitchen," Matt declared so smugly that Foggy actually smiled. The compliment was honestly adorable, and he appreciated it, though not quite as much as he appreciated having Matt safe at home. He didn't know what Stick was trying to prove. That he couldn't handle rejection, or that he had some sort of claim on Matt? The old man worried Foggy, and it took a lot of effort to keep his tone normal when he spoke. "You're just saying that," he said lightly, a slight quaver in his voice betraying him. "I'm serious," Matt insisted, his expression turning tense again. "Foggy, I want to talk to you about Stick." "Okay," Foggy agreed, his breath catching in his throat. What did he do to you, Matt?" His eyes burned as he looked at him, and he shoved his plate away, his appetite failing him despite the fact that the only thing he'd eaten in the last 2 days was a slice of pizza and a stale cookie. He was living on caffeine and anxiety at the moment, That needed to change soon, or he wouldn't cope with his study load when he and Matt returned to law school. For years, I thought that if I trained hard enough or tried hard enough that he'd come back, Matt admitted, his voice fragile. After my dad, Stick was the first person that I really admired, that I felt understood me. Well, maybe not me, but my gifts, at least. I think part of me still sees him as some sort of father figure, and it's been years, and I'm still trying to earn his approval, no matter what he does or how much he... It's messed up and stupid. I get that. And I did tell him I wasn't coming back, I swear. I believe you. And it's not stupid, it's just... He'll hurt you. He already has. He's a dick, Matt, Foggy declared, his throat constricting. I just wanted you to understand why I keep letting him into my life, Matt said quietly, shaking his head and sighing heavily. Foggy bit his lip and swallowed hard. It was progress in a way. Matt was letting him in. He was explaining, rather than excusing, his connection to Stick. That was something. He'd been beaten to hell trying to sever his connection to his old mentor. Matt had done that merely on Foggy's say-so, because he'd practically begged him to keep his distance from Stick. Matt's respect for him, even when he didn't necessarily agree, was worth more than words. It meant that Foggy could trust him, even if he couldn't protect him. I do understand that, Matt, he said gently, reaching across the table for his hand, but Matt only scoffed and withdrew. Yeah, sure, he said sarcastically. I do, Foggy declared, stung by Matt's insistence on maintaining distance between them. I get wanting a parent's approval and feeling like you have to prove yourself to them, because they wrote you off before you were old enough to realize that you weren't the problem. That was nothing you did, and nothing you could ever do would change them leaving, no matter how much they tried to put it on you. He stopped speaking abruptly, hardly able to believe that he'd said all that. He closed his eyes and sighed. It was out there now, all that hurt and bitterness. The illusion was shattered. That was what he'd let Matt think since last Christmas, right? That he came from a loving family who had never been anything less than completely wonderful? If only that were true. What are you talking about? Matt asked, frowning in confusion. My birth mom, Rosalind. She's a complete... You know, it's funny, I can call Stick a dick, but her, I can't, Foggy mumbled, hardly able to breathe past the painful lump rising in his throat. She left us. She said we, me and Theo and Candace, she meant, were holding her back. She's a lawyer, actually. I think that was why my dad didn't want me to be one. He didn't want me to be like her. I won't be. I wouldn't walk out on my family or you. I know you wouldn't. I'm sorry. I really had no idea, Matt murmured, but Foggy just nodded and swallowed hard. He couldn't speak for a long moment. He drew a ragged breath, trying to regain some semblance of control over his emotions. The look on Matt's face didn't help. It wasn't pity. It was utter heartbreak. For a moment, Foggy didn't understand it, and then realization sank in, Matt's tears and his words floating back to him. My mom, she left or died. I don't know. Fuck, he thought, closing his eyes. If anyone knew how he felt about Rosalind, it was Matt. He should have told him months ago. He shook his head and opened his eyes, everything inside him aching as he looked at his boyfriend. My point is, I get why you feel like you need to prove yourself to Stick, because I still feel that way sometimes, and she's cold, Matt, Foggy admitted, his lips tightening as he repressed a shudder. Anna's my mom, not her, but I do get you and Stick. I do. I just can't let you do that to yourself. And I love you for it, Matt said, so quietly that Foggy wasn't entirely sure if he was meant to have heard that or not. Did you just... I did, and I meant it, Matt declared, that little tremor in his tone telling Foggy that yes, Matt really did mean it. He didn't remember standing up or making any conscious decision to move, but then Matt moved too, and before Foggy could think of a single thing to say, Matt had curled both arms around his neck and drawn him into a fierce, passionate kiss that made everything in Foggy tremble, emotions crashing over him in a disorienting wave that spun him out, making him dizzy. "Matt," he pleaded, gasping for breath as he broke the kiss, needing to hear that loving sentiment expressed again. "You're so important to me, Foggy," Matt murmured, cupping his cheek. I know I'm a mess sometimes, and I know I've really screwed up, and yeah, we've had our ups and downs lately, and that'll probably never change, but..." "That's okay," Foggy said breathlessly. "We can have our ups and downs, Matt, as long as this doesn't change." He couldn't tear his eyes away from Matt's face. There was such intensity to his expression beneath all the bruises, but there was a tenderness also to him, a deep affection that Foggy wouldn't have dared call love until now. He hadn't realized how much he needed that declaration from Matt. Now that he had it, he didn't quite know what to do with it, whether to tell him he loved him too, or to presume Matt knew that. "It won't ever change between us," Matt promised, as Foggy closed his eyes and leaned into his touch. "You sound sure of that," he murmured, leaning closer, craving the feel of Matt's lips pressed against his. "So do you," Matt replied, resting a palm against his chest, Foggy's heart no doubt racing under his fingertips. "I am sure," Foggy whispered. Not that Matt probably needed that confirmation. Matt leaned in and kissed him again as Foggy melted into the sweetest of heats, into the addictive head-spinning rush that was Matt Murdock. He needed him. He needed his love and his understanding. The common ground they shared was painful, but it drew them together as well. He and Matt had both been abandoned by people who should have stayed and built them up. But Foggy knew one thing to be true. It was that he and Matt wouldn't abandon each other. They'd stay. They'd protect each other and make their mistakes, and they'd love each other anyway. There wasn't a single doubt in his mind. End chapter 34.